Hi, this is Kalyan Karmakar, and welcome to Foodocracy for Her. Foodocracy for Her is a podcast where I speak to women who are doing wonderful work in the world of food. And my focus has been on people working in the Indian market, and today is going to be another interview like that. But the interviewee, or rather our guest, is someone who is sitting in Singapore, but working very much in India. So with that, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to invite you on board, Megha Phul. Megha Phul runs Zelo Foods, which is a five-year-old enterprise. And funnily enough, when she was born in Bhilai, which is Chhattisgarh now, and Madhya Pradesh back then, she had no inkling that she'd be running a food enterprise and even through her studies. But let her tell you her story. So Megha, welcome on board. And how's it in Singapore today? Do you miss Mumbai?
Hi, thank you, Kalyan. Thank you very much. It is very exciting to be here. It's my pleasure. And I miss Mumbai. Hands down, I miss Mumbai. I miss the food scene in Mumbai. When we live there, we don't realize like how much India and Mumbai has come to food. Yeah, so I do miss India. We moved here last year in a year. And it's been nice. It's been very nice. I have no complaints, like especially in terms of family life with COVID and school. So, yeah, it has been very nice. But we do miss Mumbai a lot. Yeah.
And you lived pretty much all over the country and even a bit abroad before this. So why don't you tell us a bit about your journey? I mean, from Bhilai to Singapore and where all in between.
So I grew up in Bombay. I grew up in Bhilai. I did my schooling in Bhilai. And then I was in Delhi. I did my graduation in Delhi. And then I was in Hyderabad. I did NIFT Hyderabad. And then I was in Glasgow for a year. I did another my fashion marketing course in Glasgow. And then I came back and I was working and got married. And then we've been in Bombay for the last 15 years. We've been in Bombay. And I was working always in the garment industry till the time my son was born. So my son was born like 12 years ago. That's when I decided to take a step back and I quit my full-time job. And so that's how, so like just a big foodie. And then I had some personal health issues. And that's when I met a nutritionist. Her name is Charmin D'Souza.
And she's Mumbai-based, right?
She's Mumbai-based. Yes, yeah, that's correct. Yes. So I met her and she gave me showed me a very different perspective about food and she gave me fun of some of my few in like my first recipe book like in towards the healthier cooking and that's when I would say like she might be the reason where the Kira was born behind Zelo. So I started making that food at home and then started giving it to friends. But it always stayed as a hobby. Like I would do it by myself and just always stayed as a hobby. And I think 5 years ago is when we decided, and I wanted to get back to working. Now my son is older and just wanted to get back to a normal job. And I was like, okay, why don't I do something with it? And my friends were friends and family was really supportive about it. And that's when we started Zelo. We moved into a proper commercial, because I think you need to, that was my perspective, that you need to get out of the house if you want to really treat it as work. And once you
well, at least that was the pre-pandemic way of thinking. I mean, the last 2 years,
pushes you a little more. It just pushes you a little more when you have overheads on your head, you, and you just try a little harder, and you yourself start looking at it as work, and not like there's a big difference between doing it as a hobby and it's very difficult to separate passion from business. Right. Like that's a very, very fine line in between. It does help. Like when you move out, so we moved out 5 years ago and that's when properly Zelo was born and we started doing things more commercially.
Now, that's a very interesting point which you made. As someone who 2014, so about 7-8 years back, moved out of a corporate service career into freelance. I know exactly what you're saying. And it's over the last 2 or 3 years, more and more people are doing that. So this separation of passion versus enterprise, home and work. All of these are very interesting questions. And the other thing which I'm always a bit curious about, and I'm going to take you a bit back to the point when your son was born, and then you took a conscious call to sort of take a break from your corporate career. So at that time, was there any plan that sometime in the future you're going to get back to work, or was it like, okay, this is what I have to do now, and I'll, because I'm very interested, because I've come across a lot of women in my corporate life as well who've taken a break at that point. So what's going on in your head at that point?
Plan was always to get back to work, Kalyan. The plan was always to get back to work, but it just gets harder. Like, and also, like in my case, like my husband was doing well, and he travels a lot. Like Atul travels a lot for work. So then one of us decided that we have to take a step back. But I did, like I would volunteer with NGOs. I worked with Pratham, an NGO called Pratham, on and off. Like, so did things, but yes, I did take a step back, and it was very, very difficult to get back to like full swing corporate job with traveling and leaving home. And then it's your personal choice. So I took that choice of not going back. Like, yeah.
You didn't want to get back to fashion, which is where all your experience.
So it's a very, I didn't, it's the same now, also, like this is very demanding as well. But at that time, I thought that it's a 6-day working for yeah. fashion, a 6-day working industry, very, very demanding hours. And I didn't know how demanding this would be, but yes, that was the idea about not going back. And I genuinely, I really started enjoying what I was doing. Like it became a big part of me. Like that was like, you know, like you enjoy something. So then I just like, and it just so happened, like, and it was appreciated, very well appreciated among friends and family. And
lucky us for those of us who are more into food than fashion. And yeah, I mean, even for those who are into both, I mean, it's good for it. But so tell me a bit about the thought behind Zelo when you set it up like 5 years back. And I was going to your Instagram page, apart from of course having tried some of your wonderful products, and I must compliment you, like in terms of the packaging, and you know, whether it was the Maharashtrian meal which we tried during Sankrant, and where everything came in boxes which were like easy to open and very beautifully labeled, and especially keeping in fact mind the fact that maybe a lot of audience like me, for example, wouldn't know that much about Maharashtrian food. So it told you very clearly what is what, or the snacks which we tried at a separate time, which again was very clear in terms of what was there and the taste and stuff. So and then somewhere I saw you talking about the history of laddus and all of that. So what is Zelo Foods, and why Zelo, and has it evolved over the last 5 years?
Zeal, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
So not like that. Mithun Chakravarti Bappi Lahiri song Jile, which was that kind of thing on beat. Jile,
not the Zelo.
No, so this is not a Bengali trying to pronounce zeal. Zeal. Sorry, I have to crack
Zelo
one.
Zelo was zeal.
One bad joke in an episode, at least. Yes, please go ahead.
Yes. So I was saying that the idea behind Zelo was zeal, right? Okay. Just it's completely made and driven out of passion. Like I love what I do, and I completely like I like food is like it's I'm very, very passionate about it, and I'm very passionate, I like, and my team is very passionate about it, because I think we just follow the same philosophy from up to down, whether it comes to our team also. So what drives us is and what is very important to us is we are 100% transparent about our ingredients. And that's why, like, you said labels. So even if we're doing a meal, we make sure that we put everything out. You know what are you eating. So even if it's like a bhaji, you know exactly what is going in it. Like, and if you eat our laddus, we are very, very transparent about our ingredients. Second, like, we really try to be very choosy about our ingredients. And I think that's what makes us a little different. Like, see, we can't compete with our Haldiram's or your Regal. So how is our like, if we are doing a chivda or if we are doing gatia, for example, why is our gatia different? Like, so, and how do we stand out? So we buy our own dals, we buy organic dals, we grind our old dals, and then we make it. So it's not the basin bought from the market. And the same thing, like, I'll give you an example, like for our laddus. So we also do besan laddus, but we buy the chana dal, we roast the chana dal, we grind the chana dal, and then we make the laddus. So I think just so very particular about the ingredients,
which is in a way the traditional Indian homemaking, right? I mean, like, say, people who would make laddus at home, say our grandmoms and all of that, they would get the ingredients, then grind it, or even like dosa, they would grind the rice. I mean, it's probably our generation which has begun outsourcing stuff for convenience. But so one was transparency, and was there any particular focus, that area that you want to be in, Indian food, international, a particular area of India, or was transparency the more basic thing, and then it can sort of layer itself in any.
Actually, like, it's explored a lot, Kalyan, in the last few years. So the core business is gifting. Like, that's what I focus more on, like, is gifting. And India is big into gifting, whether it's weddings. And there are many opportunities in India to gift, right? Whether it's weddings, whether it's...
Not just Valentine's Day.
So what we do is, like, we focus on different festivals, and that's how we divide our year. Right. Yeah. So that's how we divide. Okay. So we did Ganpati. I love innovation. Like, that's what I enjoy doing it. So, and thankfully, like, really blessed that I've had great mentors. Like, I had Charmin, I have Rushina. I have had Yasir. I don't know if you know Yasir Ali. Like, he's the gourmet, like, gelato. Then Rohan Mirchandrani, he does epigamia. Like, so really, really fortunate to be talking to people and getting that kind of exposure.
And you're saying that they've all, like, sort of guided you?
Really, really great mentors. Really, like, Rushina has been very big. Like, you know, like, so I went to her, like, so we did, like, a mung dal laddu, and I took it to her, and she tasted it. Like, she's like, why don't you add cranberries to it? And yeah, and I am very good at, like, advice. I take advice very well also. Like, I'm very fortunate to get it right. Like, I would take the most it. And we added cranberries to the laddus, and they just tasted fantastic. So yeah, so we focus on festivals, and our main is bulk, like, our gifting, and we try to innovate, because in India, everybody wants something new. Like, and we also, like, and the other thing I focus is on trying to go healthier. Like, we do not use processed sugar in our laddus, right? Mm-hmm. And I told you, we buy everything, we do everything ourselves. Like, even if we have to fry something, we use, like, groundnut oil, because that's just more stable. We do not reuse our oils. Mm. And most of our namkeens are not fried. They are baked or they are roasted. Mm. So try to be on the healthier, because that's what I believe in. And it's like little changes that you can do. But we try. But in India, two things are important. People want something different. And they, even if it's healthier, whatever you call it, it has to be tasty.
I must say that having tried your food, and sorry for interjecting, but it is tasty, because, you know, after I tried the Maharashtrian thing, and I remember eating the, you know, the Komri Bare or you know, dishes over there, everything was beautiful. And even in terms of the gatia or the farsam or the til laddus and stuff. And I must tell you, that evening when we were at night, rather, which is perhaps not what dietitians would recommend, but we were reading and we just wanted something to munch on, like, after dinner. So I took out some of the gatias and the poha chura. And my elder cat, Baby Loaf, who's very, very picky, and he never eats anything apart from cat food, which is cooked for him at home, or even our food or whatever, he came and started sniffing my bowl. And like, sometimes he sniffs and then goes away, but he was, like, really putting his head into it. So I finally took out a gatia. He saw it, and then he snapped and bit into it like as if it was a cat treat. And then he had 2-3 bites.
Oh, that's
and then he this thing. And then he moved a bit ahead of us, still on the bed. And then he kept, looking at us. So my wife was saying that maybe, there was a slight bit of heat in it. And as a cat, he's never, experienced heat as a taste. So he's like wondering, what are you guys eating? But that is quite a miracle. Having said that, he didn't have it the next day, but that's baby loaf. What I also found very interesting.
It was.
We were stunned. Like the little one still sort of, gets on. And especially if there's some fish or chicken, which we are eating, he likes to eat that. But cats are very picky, unlike dogs. What I also found interesting is that, there's an entire range. So for example, you did Maharashtrian food during Sankranti, laddus, which actually almost belong to every part of the country. Then you did a sadhya on Republic Day, which is Keralite. So it's different parts of India. So what is your background, Megha? Like which part of India do your folks come from?
So I am a Punjabi. I've never lived in Punjab, but I am a Punjabi. But I like eating all kinds of food. So when we travel, wherever we travel, whether it's in India or outside of India, I would try to take these little courses, do a one day, some cooking course and love eating local food everywhere we go. And also I have a very good team, Kalyan, very, very good team. These girls, and they've actually grown. The main person in the kitchen now used to cook for me at home 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And she has grown and she manages my kitchen wonderfully now. Wonderfully. She's the head chef. And so they are all they've all also grown with me. Right? So, yeah. So they've all, and the first person under her was my helper in the house. She used to clean the house and today she can make you anything. You ask her to make a pecan pie, she'll make it for you.
Wow.
You ask her to make
your helper can make a pecan pie.
So they've all grown with me and they've all so they're also very, and they also come with a lot of
and is your team all women? Is your team all women?
Yes.
Or is it mixed?
Yeah.
Consciously?
Yeah.
Or so, is that consciously all women?
Just
or
so
is
happened this... also, it just so happened also, and now it's just it's just easier. We all gel along well, and it's just I think I'm going to stick with it because it's just easier, and everyone just has a good rapport amongst each other.
Lovely.
So I was saying, even the team comes with a lot of passion, right? And one of them is a Maharashtrian, one of them is a Mangalorean. So they come with so much experience as well. And it's the meals are not our main business.
Yeah.
That is again just out of fun. It's fun for us to do something different. And
but how's that working? Different. Because I know that there was someone who saw me having the Maharashtrian meal, and then she ordered it from your team, and then she then wrote to me saying it was absolutely fabulous and stuff. So is this a sort of new thing over the last 1 year that you've been doing the meals, or
this was thanks to COVID? Actually, this was thanks to it. The meals and the sauces and the farsan, it all came during COVID because we didn't have any gifting. 2020, there was no gifting. There was absolutely no gifting. So we had to do something. So we pivoted. We saw the gap in the market, do ready sauces and do meals. So that's when we started with the meals. And now we just find it fun. So we would do it's more like a pop-up for us. We'll do it for special occasions. We do it on weekends sometime, a simple, and it's very similar to what we used to eat at home. And just make it nice and clean. We believe in clean food. So
yes.
We follow the same things and we just come up with these meal options and yeah. So the meal part is more the whole team just really enjoys it.
I'm really fascinated by the team which you're sort of referring to, and the team dynamics and the players. So it's almost like something like a Chak De India story with you playing Shah Rukh Khan, whether you like it or not. So why don't you tell us, take us a bit through that, right from the beginning, and how did it happen? It sounds like a fascinating story, and because you don't have a professional background in culinary arts apart from the classes which you've done, and from what I gather your team is unskilled in the sense that they've not gone through cooking school and all of that, but they probably know how to cook much better than most chefs. But, you know, I mean, when you're doing an enterprise, there are other skills required in terms of portioning, consistency, hygiene, and things like that, which training brings in. So tell us a bit about how your little team happened and how you created it.
From home, right? So I started from home, right? So I would bake, I would cook. So see, I am also not a baker. So that's the thing, like we do products that we know we can execute. And that's why like we don't go into baking. Like there are very, very few things that we do as like baked products because we can't compete with the bakers in India. Like they're fantastic. So we go with like what we are good with that. Like we know our palate, we know our like what taste. So we do the product development is completely keeping the thing like my team in mind. And but anyways, let me start. So we started at home and these girls would help me and then wanted to, and they got so trained at it, like seeing me doing it and they would do it with me. We did one Diwali from home and they completely took over. So when we moved out,
what was your product? The easiest thing for me was to take it. Sorry, Megha, for interrupting. But same from your story only, you said first Diwali. Do you remember what were the products you'd done first time around?
Yeah. We did chickies. We did chicky squares. So we do these like your granola bars, we do like small chicky squares. And the first ones that we did were like with oats and nuts and seeds. So we did the chickies and we did a granola with the cranberry and pecans. But like pecan was a big deal at that time. So it was something very different. So those were the first two products. That was the first big Diwali that we had.
Okay, yeah. So then you were saying that go ahead.
So when I moved to a kitchen, so it was the easiest thing for me to do was move these girls with me because it's like I'm gonna hire somebody, like train them again. Like at least these both of them had got like they knew all the basic products, and then we just got more systematic, right?
With recipes. Okay, I have one, you know, very basic question over here. So then what happened to the house if you took your house help into the business?
I would sometimes ask them to be girls to cook for me and send it home.
Luckily, I mean, you are in charge here and there, but otherwise, like, you know, it's so and difficult to find someone you can trust.
You have no idea how to run the house. About these news, man. I also see it on Instagram. Like I also see it on the camera all the time, like them cooking and like, it's like, I want to eat it too.
And her husband didn't matter. Like he had no issue.
He loves what I do completely. 110% loves what I do. And like, he always says like you have to be fortunate enough to completely like not think about like, oh, whether I should do this or not do this and like, and do what you love, right? So like, I had this opportunity and thankfully, like he is very, very supportive about it. So yes. Yeah.
Well, what about your son? He's not 12, right?
He's 12 now.
Yes. So how does he, what does he think of what you do? Does he understand he like, mommy does something?
Of course, he understands everything. Like he thinks like, and especially like ever since we've been here, like because I've spent a lot more time on the phone and on cameras. So he thinks my best friends are all the people in the kitchen. And yeah, so.
So going back to, going back to like, you know, the kitchen opened and you took your two house help and became your first sort of employees of your new company, but I'm still sort of going back. So then what happened after that? How did the team form or how did it grow? Because it's been 5 years.
They are very, very good. And then I was in the kitchen a lot, right? I was in a kitchen a lot. So like, and we just like, we commercialized everything, right? Whether it's our recipes and like, so there's a protocol for everything in the kitchen and they follow it to the T. Like, and I think again, like because they know me and we work with others so much, like even like if I have to explain something to them on the phone now also, they understand what am I saying. Like it has to be more like you have to increase the lemon in it, or like they get it what I'm saying. Like they've been with me for so many years now And because they, it was a big opportunity for them also, right? To from moving from a household to a commercial kitchen. So they took it really, really well. And they have seriously, like you should see, like they've grown, they can make you our entire menu. They can make, and of course, I'm not even there anymore. So they will redo everything. We did 3,000 gift boxes for Diwali this year, like in 2021. Wow. And I was not there. We had a really, really, actually, I think me moving gave us some extra perspective because I could take a step back and just focus on not like the day-to-day running of the kitchen and focus more. And also with COVID, like how much you can like do, like by gave me a lot of time to think and how do I grow it. So
and has the team grown? Is it still two of them or are there now more people in the... Yes. More people in the team?
We have five people in the kitchen. We have five people in the kitchen now. Then we have admin, like we have two people for admin. And we hire like during Diwali and stuff if we need. So we work with an NGO. Like there's a lady who trains like people and like, so we get people from her like to cut our dry fruits and for our packaging. And whenever we need, we get ladies from her. But...
you were talking about the protocol and everything. And again, like I said, I mean, since you're not from a culinary background, say maybe a chef or whatever. So was there any sort of experience from your past work life which came of use or what helped you sort of set these protocols? How did you go about setting them?
And again, like that. See, at time, I'm telling you. So thankfully, like I did have, like, see, we are very small, but I had the opportunity where we have friends and like in the food industry. So I would go see commercial kitchens and like, and just like spending more and more time with those people. Like I've been very fortunate to have good mentors. Like
And they were not wary of sort of letting their secrets or processes be known to you because they knew, right? You were going to set up something, but they still helped you out. Is that so?
Oh yeah, completely, 100%. I never faced that actually. I've not faced that at all. Like people have been very, very helpful, very helpful.
And what about the packaging and design and all of that? I mean, it's. Fairly unique. It's attractive. It's user friendly. The transparency which you've spoken about comes through. So how did all of that happen? Did you need any external help in designing it, or you know, do you get experts for that, or how did that happen?
We do have people we work with, Kalyan, and so packaging is something I did struggle with because again, like this, like everyone has their own. What they're good at and not good at. Yes. So that is something I'm not good at. And I have realized it. So like what you're not good at, get somebody else to do it for you. Otherwise it's just a waste of time, energy and money. So yes, we do have people who help us with packaging. Now we like on the same lines, like even social media, like I am not good at it. So now we have Shruti, you know, Shruti from Happiness. So she helps us with it. Like, so we try to get like, wherever, how much ever we can, as we are growing, that's the only way to grow, right? Like as we are growing, like whenever we can, we think that we have the bandwidth to hire people, we are. So yes, packaging, we have somebody we work with in Ahmedabad, and we have somebody, her name is Manini, and we have someone in Bombay as well that we work with for our packaging.
So what do you look for when you when you're looking at like partners? I mean, you know, when you look at large scale companies, some of them still sort of refer to people as suppliers, like even big advertising agencies and packaging companies. Like if it's a big manufacturing company, they would refer to them as suppliers. But I think the philosophy today, including in big companies which have foresight, is that of partnership. That the values should be similar. And then of course, like the functional skill which you're bringing to the table. So given the fact that, you know, you are like a small company and therefore, I mean, you know, you would be really looking at getting your money's worth and you can't afford to sort of make the wrong choice. So how do you sort of go about selecting partners? Like, you know, because there would be a lot of people who might even be home chefs, so they might not be at the stage at which you are, and they might be feeling the need to sort of get in partners for either social media, labeling, or any other aspect. So what should one look for in a good partner?
Kalyan, I would say, like, for that also, we've grown in the last 5 years. Like, 5 years ago, we also started with getting stuff from Crawford. Like, that was the place to go buy stuff. Like, we would buy 100 boxes and whatever. Like, that's how we also started. But, and I think we've had, and then we just grew, and we've had bad suppliers and good suppliers too. And I think it's just a learning process. Like, you learn. And we have gone through a lot of references that helps also. Again, like, have been fortunate enough that we have friends in the food industry, and they have given me references, and we have gone with their references. And so we've had good and bad experience both completely when it comes to suppliers. But I would say, like you have to be like very hands-on. Like, you have to have your follow-ups on time. Like, you can't just go keep order kar diya aur aa jayega. Like, that's my advice to everyone. Like, nahi hota. Like, in India, it doesn't happen. Like, you have to be on top of everything. So that's what we do. And now we have our set, it's all sorted, like quite sorted. Like, we still struggle with the like gift boxes and stuff. We still struggle with that, but the basic packaging and stuff, like, we've quite streamlined, and we have our suppliers in place.
Lovely. And this is one stage, and I'm sure that when you move to the next stage, then it'll come with its own challenges, and then again, fresh discoveries. I'm also interested in the fact that, you are now in a different location and actually a different country. So how do you sort of monitor quality control? Because finally, it comes down to taste. So are there some people maybe in Bombay from whom you sort of bounce it off, or some of the things which are possible, do you get them shipped to you, during the R&D process? How do you sort of, for example, is the cranberry actually working well in a laddu? If you're not there, how will you know?
Yeah.
So do you set up protocols for that as well?
Yeah. So see, moving to Singapore was never in the charts. So we moved because of COVID, and it was just the right thing to do for the family. And we decided, okay, let's go ahead. But I did not want to stop doing what I did. And I was like, we'll be going to try. Let's try it and see how it goes. But so few things we do. So a lot of product development I do over here, like a lot of product development. And I try to use the same ingredients that and the same brands that we have in India. So like, I get it shipped here, and it's very easy to get everything shipped here. So a lot of product development, I do it here. And then the recipes we make them in the kitchen. And then we have our set people, like our friends and family in Bombay, like who we send samples and get their feedback. And if we have the time, then I'll get the product couriered here and I taste it. But if we don't have, like, if it's like something that needs to be done, then we send it to people, get their feedback, and then refine it. And that's how we come up with different products. And it's actually like, we've all learned in the last 1 year, how 2 years actually, like how much you can do, like by not being just right there. Like I used to think, I can't even tell you. I didn't sleep for 15 days during Diwali. Ki kaise hoega? Like, we have taken up so much on my head. Like, and we are like, again, like, see, it's very important for us for the customer to be happy, right? It's a big thing, right? It's their Diwali gifts. Like, it has to go like perfect, right? And the other big thing that we believe in is the commitment. Like, if I have told you I will give it to you on the 21st in the morning, it has to be delivered on 21st in the morning. So like, but it happened, like we could do it, like on cameras. So my day starts with a camera, the kitchen camera on my desk. And then I have another girl, like she's the head of admin for us. So she's my eyes there. When it comes to the eyes, she's the eyes there. So she's the one who manages the quality. And plus, like, you know, like they all know that I'm watching them all the time.
And the time difference is what, 4.5 hours or 2.5 hours?
So they don't know when they call it.
No, I'm saying the time difference is 4.5 hours. 2.5, right?
2.5 hours. We are 2.5 hours ahead.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, when you said that your eyes are on them and they don't know when you're going to call, is that like...
when I'm going to call and catch them doing something.
Is that a scary thing for them? I mean, I don't know, I should ask them that. But what's the sort of mood which you like to have in your team? Accountability, of course. But what works? What works?
See, I think like it's a two-way process. They have a lot of flexibility in many things, but they know like there is no compromise on hygiene. There is no compromise on cleanliness in the kitchen. There is no compromise on we will make it 3 times, but it has to be perfect when it goes. We don't compromise. I can see everything. Like if they're making a pecan pie, each pecan pie has been like before it goes out, I see the base. Like they have to turn it around and show it to me. If I am not there to approve it, then the other girl, Rina, like she's our head of admin, she has to approve it before it goes out. And they know that I will check it. Like it's not like I notice everything, but you have to do, like I keep telling them, like for us to be different, like there are some things that we have to do. And that's what would make us different. Otherwise, it's like there is so much competition, Kalyan. You see it True. All the time. You've met so True. Many people, so many people and doing such fantastic job. There's so much talent.
It's a big market. So there's place for everyone to grow.
It's a big market.
I mean, look at your mentors.
You have to have your meet in place, right?
And your mentors came from that perspective. So they must have thought that there's place for everyone to grow. So that's why they shared with you. I must give two examples of what I've experienced where I can therefore understand what you're talking about. One is in the Maharashtrian meal. There was the vare of the kombi vare. And vare, for people who don't know, is like a puri made with multigrains. In fact, it can even be gluten-free. and it should be eaten freshly fried. And you have it with a curry, normally a meat or a mutton or a chicken curry. But, obviously it was like made and then delivered to us early evening, maybe 7 o'clock or something. Probably we sat for dinner at 10. So I lightly heated it on the tawa. But, when I combined it with the curry, it tasted so good. And then there was the poha chura. You know, I've never really been too fond of the poha chura because of the texture that, you know, it's very fine textured. So, you know, when I've normally had it, I've not really enjoyed it too much and I've found it to be a bit chewy perhaps, but yours has a nice crunch to it. So, I mean, all this R&D and the eyes on them, that's really working. And I also wanted to say that, the fact that you said that this plan to Singapore was not planned and, you know, it had to be done because of COVID or things like that. But what I learned from your entire story is that, I mean, there are things which are not under our control and this was not anyway, perhaps that bad a thing. And the fact is that, okay, take that in your stride and then see how to go ahead. So I think that's a lovely idea and example. And also if I go to the Maharashtra meet again, there were certain things which even I who was like somewhat exposed to Maharashtra food and traveled and all that. I mean, there were still certain things which I had not tried before, tasted before. Like I just keep forgetting that thing, which is like a vari. But, and in fact, someone else also said that they were impressed to see it. You know, that soft thing, I don't remember now, but it sort of introduces the rains. And your products get shipped across India. Your gifting.
So the dried food, yes, like all the dried food, like from our mueslis to our chickies and our chivras, like all the farsan. So all that we ship across, like even the gift boxes, like so we would like because the laddus and stuff. That's the other thing we try to play with is a better shelf life. You know, when it comes to gifting industry, you have to have a better shelf life. So we try to work with less grains. So like all our gifting products are more like our laddus are all nut based. So they will not get spoiled, right? Like, so we try to keep that in mind when we come up with the gifting.
Because you're not putting preservatives.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually, you know, especially in a gifting occasion, which is a festival like a Diwali or a Christmas or whatever, the truth is that in the house of every receiver, if you're lucky, then you would have got multiple gifts. And sometimes that's why we prefer in sweets, like giving chocolates or receiving chocolates, because you don't have to consume a chocolate immediately. But if it's like a motichur laddu or a pera or something like that, and then there's so much. So I think these interesting nuggets are very illuminating in terms of how you're thinking. So it's been 5 years, right? And like you said, I mean, the market's been changing. One is, of course, the entire pandemic, which would have put people at home, and perhaps an increased sense of hygiene and all of that. But also the markets developed, like you said, over the last 2 or 3 years, there have been more players who've come in into this artisanal product area. So how have the challenges increased for you? And how do you make sure that you stay relevant? How do you decide on new product innovations? Because you were telling me earlier that you like trying out new things. So how does all of that happen?
So see, there has been a lot of challenges, especially in the last 2 years. There have been a lot of challenges, and especially like during COVID, like even if we pivoted to meals and stuff, everybody was doing meals. And from home, everyone was doing meals from home. We could not compete with the price range, right? Our price range is very different. We could not come because we have our overheads, right? It's not just the food that we, it's the overheads also that we have to cover. So that's why we just took that extra step. If it's a meal, we made the meal an experience. Like it has to be an experience, like the Maharashtrian meal so you have to do something to make it work. And we've learned that in the last 2 years, you have to make it work. And how do you make yourself different from others, right? So you have to find your little niche that will make you stand out. Again, I said, with our ingredients. So even with our chickies, small things with our chickie, we do not put sugar in it. We get organic jaggery from Gujarat and we use that for all our chickies. So everything, you have to do something that you believe in, that is your, that's your product, has to, so, and you just have to follow that with every product that we took, we had the same things in our head. We are going to use the good ingredients. We are going to be healthier. We are going to give a good, nice finished product. Whether it's our snacks, whether it's our meals, even our snacks, the way we package them, each bottle, even our Farsan is sealed.
Oh, yeah, yes,
every
yes.
bottle is sealed before it goes out to the kitchen.
Sealed and labeled.
Things is like what we,
sealed
yeah,
and
so
labeled.
Those little things is what we had to come up with to stand apart, because there is a lot of competition. There is no doubt about it. There is a lot of competition and good competition in the market. But you also learn. You also learn from them and you get better, and you have to just and last year I would say last 6 months gifting has been back. It has been back. We had a good Diwali, thankfully it was a good Diwali. Weddings are back, so again we're moving back to what we are good at and what we started to do was more the gifting industry. So hopefully it stays like this.
So your clients are more people, say, who would order in bulk and then gift it in bulk, for weddings or festivals. Is that it? Is that the sort of thing? Okay, Megha,
we do both. We do direct to customers also, and we do corporate gifting also. We do both. We're not that big that we'll say ki okay nahi hum sirf corporate gifting karenge. So we do both, because it's the same product at the end of the day. We do as for the corporates, we'll with packaging and stuff, we'll do what they want, we'll cater to their needs, with their logos and stuff. Logos. So we do that. And for an individual, if they want a nice tag printed with, yeah, we would do it. But that's what, again, I'm saying,
recent posts on Instagram said that we can customize your gifting messages.
Yeah, we do that all the time. You want to send a birthday gift to, we'll get a tag printed for you. It's a small thing to do, but just making it easier for the customer, right? So we do that. So So that's so you just have to do things like to make it like easier. Your customer has to be happy in the end. And how do you make them happy? By giving them a good product. And just and also not it's not just the product. We try to give a good service also. So take it a little one step ahead. So yes, we do cater to corporates, to answer your question, and we do like personalized gifting for people as well. Like even
in terms of market trends, a couple of things which came to my mind. There are two things which have happened because of the pandemic. One is there has been a economic pressure on people, like, you know, job loss or business coming down or whatever. You know, and this has affected people, or they've had to put in more hours and all that. There has also been a heightened consciousness, perhaps or hopefully, on about one's health and therefore what one is consuming and the importance of the quality of that. So which sort of in a way go into different directions, because quality comes at a price, and you know, there's been like pressures on one's ability to pay. So given that these sort of counterintuitive forces or trends which are at work, how is it that you've seen your customers responding, or customer base responding? Because one of your key attributes or key promises is that quality, right? I mean, transparency. I'm making my own chana da, basin. I'm you know, using organic jaggery. So and that too, you're going for gifting. So these are people who are going giving it to other people. Yeah. So it's not that they're buying it for their own family. So given all of this, I'm interested to know how's the market responding.
The market has been okay, Kalyan. Like it was, 2020 was bad, but 2021 has picked up again. But we do try to keep a price range in mind. So we do have like, we categorize like in three, like we'll go for the luxurious, then we'll go like a corporate level. And we'll also go like a personal level where people will not want to spend more than 500, 600 on a gift boxes. So we try to do the product development and the packaging in different levels and try to keep that in mind. But yes, but yeah, you're right. Like, and also like, see, we are not the, we are not looking for like a 2 lakh gift box order, right? We are still like looking for a, like we had 3,000 and I'm so happy about it like this year. So like, we are still in that range. So we are catering to a niche market. Our target market is not targeting to the masses, because we can't deliver and we can't do that. Like, that's not our forte. Like, our forte is to give a premium product. And like, even our chickies, like our each chickie is cut by hand, like, because there is no sugar. You can't roll those chickies. So they are actually cut, each chickie square is cut by hand. So, so we keep that, we do play around a lot, like with the price range, but we do like, ours is not the mass market. Our product is not like,
But do you see more and more people, I mean, even say in the premium segment and all that, are you seeing a heightened awareness for the importance of, you know, what's going into your body? I mean, apart from taste, of course, which you said, I mean, are people getting more conscious?
I would say yes. I would say yes, 100%. But people want tasty. It doesn't matter. Like when it comes to gifting, especially when it comes to gifting, people want tasty. Like you are gifting something to someone, right? It has to be tasty.
Yes.
So
yes.
If the like that's what I have seen. Like in the last 5 years, that's what I have seen. Like the single most important thing, especially is it has to be tasty.
It's interesting that you're saying that, because in my previous life as a market researcher, like whenever we did research on food products like oils or you know, things, spice mixes or all that, and we get the same feedback even 10 years back that, you know, health and all is fine, but it finally comes down to taste. But the balance is, so what I found very interesting is also your clarity of vision in terms of what your target segment is, and you know, and in a way sort of focusing on that and not getting perhaps too worried about what's happening in the mass market, because that's not what you're this thing. Now, you know, when I always do these interviews, I sort of approach it as a fact that I'm speaking to an entrepreneur or you know, more than you know, a woman, because from everything which you said so far, I think the learnings apply really to everyone, like in terms of the focus, in terms of moving with times, in terms of being hands-on, even if you're physically not there. But you know, given that there are more and more sort of women entrepreneurs coming in, and which is a welcome move, because it also sort of at a long run probably helped bring in a bit more gender balance into our country, which is much needed. Any words of advice which you have to women entrepreneurs, and especially people like you, who feel like, you know, who've been in a corporate career, then taken a break to sort of nurture and grow their, look after their children, and then, you know, they want to come back, and now they're wondering that do they go back to, you know, where they were, or, you know, in the last 10, 12 years, they've experienced so much more, but then getting into a completely different field, but that, you know, going to your kitchen and working must have been so different from, you know, the fashion industry offices you might have worked with, or clients you would have met. So any words of advice based on what you've experienced, learned, some of the things perhaps you might have got wrong and learned in retrospect, floor is yours.
There have been many things that we've got wrong and we've corrected over the time. One thing I would really say is, like, keep your focus on what are you trying to achieve. Like, I think it is very, very important, because that keeps you going in the right direction. Because there is so much in the market, and there's like, you see everyone, like, and you like, oh my God, like, and you, it is overwhelming at times. And like, how do you make yourself better? But just be focused, like, and like, you should have a target in mind. Like, that's what I do. Like, we have targets in mind. Like, we have defined ours, like I told you, like, it's as per the festival. Like, so I know there's Ganpati coming, I have to have something ready for Ganpati. I know it's so we start with Raksha Bandhan. So we did Raksha Bandhan, we did Ganpati, we did Diwali, then we have Christmas, then we have New Year's, now we have Valentine coming in. So there has to be some way you define your business, and you have to be focused, and that's how, otherwise it gets very overwhelming. So that's one thing. And second, take advice. There are so many people in this industry with such wonderful advice. Like, it goes a long way. There is really, really very experienced people, and they're there. They are so approachable, and they, and like it's so lovely. Like right, like and they get it. Like, whenever you are stuck, like, get advice. Like, there are people who are there, and they're very, very helpful. I would say, like, and there's so many people in this industry and so, so experienced.
Very, very wise words. I mean, one is focus, and one is take advice. I think they're both very wise words. And in fact, I was also mulling about it when you were talking about it, that given that you have a festival-driven sort of business currently, I mean, there would be a gap between festivals. So at that time, it's really that focus which keeps you going. That therefore you realize that, okay, this is not slack season, but this is, Diwali is over, so now the entire prep is for Christmas. So it's not that it's 2 months of slack. So it's just, so that's
thankfully in India you have weddings all year round.
Weddings, birthdays,
birthdays, baby showers,
and pets. So we have two cats. We celebrated their birthdays last year. I mean, not gifting, but like, you know, couple of friends, and you know, Bengali food for one, Parsi for the other. Next birthday is coming up next month.
we need a reason. Like, in India, like, we need a reason.
Absolutely. And especially in these last 18, 19 months, we've needed reasons for sort of bringing in some joy into our gloomy lives. Yeah. One last question is that a lot of women, especially if they've not worked before, which you have, I mean, you've worked before, you know, they will have great skill and expertise in creating products, but they might feel a bit hesitant into entering a business, because they might feel that how can they deal with you know, suppliers perhaps who come from a different socioeconomic world, and perhaps they're more men, or you know, there are all these rules and regulations and FSSAI and FDA and all of that, or you know, business is about targets and calculations, and the maths is not my thing, not mine either. any words of advice to them on it? Because you've seen both sides of it, right? So any words of advice?
I took a long gap also. So it was not that doing a business like where we are right now is all because like just being focused and doing what I was doing, taking advice and just moving. Now, like where I am, like to scale it is like, again, a different, a very, very big challenge. So I'm going through the same circle again. Focus on what do I want? Take advice from people, do your research. And that's we run a household as well, right? Like you have a baby as well, right? You do everything, right? So this is also very similar. Like Zillow is my baby. Like it is my product. I am passionate about it. I know what I'm like, what my product is, right? And if you believe in it, then go do the same thing. Just be focused, get advice where needed, and move on. And hopefully it works.
I love that analogy, and I think babies are far more unpredictable than most businesses which one can run. And then it struck a chord, because I remember 3-4 years back when it was like the birthday or anniversary or whatever of my blog, and my blog was actually named by my wife, and the idea of starting a blog was hers. I mean, way back in 2007. And so I happened to sort of, put a post that day saying that, and then tagging her saying that, our baby has turned whatever, 10, 12, whatever it was then. But I think that's a great analogy, that if you can bring up a baby, I mean, if you've had one, I mean, not nowadays, everyone chooses to, but basically like women, you have it in it, and that's absolutely fabulous. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for giving your time, Megha, and sharing so candidly from your life, and also in such a focused manner. I've taken things back myself from this episode, and I'm sure that our viewers and listeners have. And folks, Zillow Foods, which is Z-E-A-L-O, Zillow Foods. So they're on Instagram, and do check out their page. And everything can be ordered online, and their offers, and it can be shipped across India, and you can be based anywhere in the world to do that. And Megha, will Singapore see Zillow products in one Hari Raya or something like that, or Chinese New Year? Mooncakes perhaps being made in Mumbai?
We actually had a first shipment there.
Mooncakes from Mumbai?
We actually had a first shipment there. Sorry?
And I said someday we'll see mooncakes from Mumbai in Singapore, made by Zillow or something for Hari Raya. but wonderful. So wish you all the best. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, Kanya. Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm sure that your products and their gifts will bring a lot of joy to those giving it, and those receiving as well. So thank you. And folks, Zillow Foods once again, so do try it out and order. It's really good stuff, and share the video so that more people know about what she's doing. Thank you. Bye, Megha. Bye. Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Kalyan.